Well, good day, everyone. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to start in the book of Jonah and look, most likely finish it today. We just did the one chapter of Obadiah dealing with the spirit of Esau, Edom, that spirit that reveals itself today with the virulent hatred of a class of people who are called Jews, and they hate them simply because of who they are, alive and well in the earth today. Many wayward spirits that just looking for someone to take up their cause, and many willing to do that. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amitai. Okay, well, I guess that would be a better pronunciation. The son of Amitai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Not me. God certainly isn't talking to me. I'll tell you what, I'll go to Tarshish and he'll leave me alone. I won't hear the voice anymore. I don't know what Jonah is thinking here, but he obviously does not want to go on a mission, right? He says, missions is not my call, man. I'm not going on a mission, and it's certainly not to Nineveh. So Jonah tries to get away. He pays the fare, and he goes on the boat. And the story continues here. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. When the mariners were afraid, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Well, they start questioning Jonah. He's getting the grilling here. And he said to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. He says, I fear Yahuwah. The name here would be spoken at this time. I fear Yahuwah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Yikes. And they said to him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea is wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Yes, can you imagine? Being swallowed up by a fish, what could you do? Yeah, the only thing you could do is pray at that time, while your consciousness remained. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Yahuwah, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Yahuwah, and my prayer came unto thee, thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of Yahuwah. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it had vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So Jonah cries from the belly of the fish, and the Almighty answers his prayer and commands the fish to vomit Jonah out onto the dry land. Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Well, the prophets are crying in America. The day of the Lord is at hand. It doesn't look like the king, Obama, at the time I'm doing this Bible study. Or it could be the King Romney. Unlikely, though, that he'll ever get in. So now I'm dating the program, which I don't really like to date my programs. But hey, you know, a Bush, you know, and Obama is in the hand is as good as a Bush in the past. I mean, there's no difference between them all for me. You know, how many of them would call a fast and call for repentance? None of them, especially this one we have now, or the one that seeks to replace him. But you know what? Individually, we can turn from our wicked ways. We can stay the violence that's in our hands. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you say, oh, well, I don't do any violence. Oh, do you participate in socialism and communism? Yeah. See, you do violence by proxy. The gun of the state is for you. That's right. You coveting your neighbor's goods? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, wait a minute. Does the state force your neighbor to pay for that you receive by your participation? Yeah, it's called violence. I had a good friend, still a good friend of mine, a man who mentored me for some years, and I am so glad that he did, that he took the time. And the seeds were planted, and the seeds grew. So I just thank God. I thank the Almighty. And I thank him also for the opportunities. And I know, because he told me it, there was a time that he felt like just giving up, that nothing would ever happen. And that's perhaps because the seed went into the ground and it died. And it looked like nothing was coming up. But it does take time for a seed to grow. A lesson in my own life, taught from one who tried to mentor me. Anyway, I was, it was the beginning of the whole Patriot thing back in the late 80s, early 90s, the whole Patriot movement. And I was going for it, you know, because listening to the whole Christian Patriot thing was evolving. And I got into what a lot of people I see getting into now that I don't get into anymore. And that's the whole voting thing, you know, to vote for the right candidate. He told me, he said, voting is violence. And I just kind of went, huh? What? Voting is violence? And I never really got a good explanation out of how he came to that conclusion out of it. And I don't know if I would have understood then or not, or if I got a good explanation and just didn't hear it. It could have been. But he told me voting is violence. Yeah, and that's what he meant. Maybe if he said voting is force, I would have understood that. Because that's what it is. It is force. That's what the state is. The state is force. And you can't force charity. Forced charity is violence nonetheless. It's all done for a good cause. It's all done for good intentions. You know what they say about good intentions? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it surely is. Oh, it's for the children. Oh, it's for the widows. It's for the old folks. Yeah. It's because there's... Why? Because there's wicked people out there who won't take care of their own. The Bible says if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. Does that change when the state take care of your own for you and you leave it off and you say, oh, I pay in my fair share? Does that relieve you of your duty under the Almighty to take care of your own parents, your own children, and to give to the poor? Does it? No, it doesn't. Because forced charity is not charity at all. It's violence. It's force. Yes, the force be with you. That's the saying, the force. So many people talk about the force as mystical. Power, the force, well, it's the barrel of a gun. That's what force is, and that's what socialism is and communism. And basically, that is what's behind the New World Social Order that's coming on the whole world. All for good intentions, mind you. The mark of the beast, it's coming. there's no hope for America turning and repenting. Well, there may be some portions, some parts of some states that might, but the nation as a whole has its place in prophecy history. But each of us individually or as families or by whatever, you know, authority we have in whatever position we're in, perhaps, but I don't really see strong families in America, strong godly families very much, where a father is not ruled by the mother. It's a rare thing these days. Even in the so-called church, I see that men worship women. What do they call that? The promise keepers. When you get down to the root of it, to the very core of it, it's about the worship of the woman. It's goddess worship. That's what the core of it. Let us not be promise keepers to women. Let us be obedient to the Almighty. Let us keep our vows to Him according to His word, not foolish vows that need to be repented of. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them every turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Well, I can tell. And maybe not for America, but I see that He does honor true repentance. The Messiah called it the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Jonah preaches in Nineveh, and the people repent on a national scale. The king repents, and many follow him. Oh, certainly, you know, after Jonah left, a lot of people, those that were truly evil in heart, went back to their evil ways. But perhaps there was some fruit for eternity in there. I'm sure there was. And I'm sure that we'll meet some of those people. We can talk about Jonah and what happened when he came into the city. I'll look forward to it. I certainly will have the time. You know, if I don't accomplish that during the millennium, well, I'm certain that in forever that I'll be able to accomplish meeting someone from Nineveh that was affected by the ministry of Jonah. Yes, I'm a believer, totally bought in and sold out for the Word of God. Delusional? Well, that's what the world would say, that I'm delusional in believing in the promises of the Almighty. Don't you know that we're all just live and then we die and we turn to dirt? And the only thing we all live on in the memories. Yeah, you know, you go ahead, you go for that. You live on in memories. I want to live on forever, not in memories, because I know how quickly memories fade. I have dearly departed loved ones, and my memory is not too good. And haven't you heard of the Alzheimer's epidemic? Everybody's going to forget about you. You're content to live in on memories, to live on in memories. What foolishness. I mean, that's good enough for you? No, I want to live. I want to live. Me. I don't want to perish. It's in me to hold on to the promises of the Almighty. I have a survival instinct. Yes, it's in my flesh, too, to survive, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that because I know my flesh is just dirt. It's a temporary dwelling place for me that is in my flesh. I and my flesh are not the same thing. I am going to live on. I am going to receive a new body that will never perish, like the one the Messiah had. He said, flesh and bone. I have. The spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. He said, thrust your hand into my side. Here, put your finger in my scars, he told Thomas. He said, spirits don't have flesh and bone, because they were afraid he was a ghost or something, whatever that is, or that he was, yeah, just a ghost or a spirit. But he says, spirits don't have flesh and bone. It wasn't what they were thinking. But yes, I believe in the promises of the Almighty. He has shown me that they are true. I can't prove it to you. I can only testify that he has revealed things to me and that he is willing to reveal them to you. No, I'm not delusional. You can believe that if you want, and you can live on in the memory of whoever's memory you trust your being to. So I know what my memory is. It may be pretty good, but it's not good enough to sustain all my dearly departed. That's right. If they were relying on me to live on in a memory, well, then I have sorely disappointed and let them down. So don't settle for that garbage that you're going to live on in someone's memory. Go for the gold, you know, go for the prize, the best offer out there. Settle for nothing less than all the promises of the Almighty. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll finish up Jonah and see what else the Holy Spirit has for us.